Go to John chapter 6. That's where we're going to be at tonight. Amen. Interesting about that services we had there in Pennsylvania. Heard a lot of amening going on as I was preaching, but seems like it was all the ladies were saying amen. This side over here and this side over here. I mean, I was glad to get amens and everything, but I was like, what's wrong with the men here? You know? But amen. At least we're getting amen. Amen. So that's good. John chapter 6. John chapter 6, starting in verse number 1. John chapter 6, starting in verse number 1. We're going to be there. It says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he had did on them, which were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, and the Passover feast of the Jews was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he knew himself what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, for every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet should come into the world. The title of the message tonight is Little as Much When God Has It. Little as Much When God Has It. It's boy's lunch that was packed by his mother and sent out on his day to do what he needed to do and follow the crowd there and was going about his day. And he had his little sack lunch with him because mommy was taking care of him. And God used that little boy's lunch to feed a whole bunch of folks. And it wasn't the lunch that did it. It was God. And we're going to look at that today. We're going to look at that today. Little as much when God has it. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you for you being who you are. We thank you there, Lord, that no matter what it is that is put into your control, your hand, Lord, no matter what it is, Lord, it can be used in a mighty, mighty way, even like a little boy's lunch or something like that. Lord, it's just nothing that you cannot use to amaze and make us wonder and help us to realize that you're the almighty God of the universe, and there's nothing you cannot do. Help us to see that tonight, Lord. Help us to see you as our Heavenly Father, yes, but also as the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We are not told the little boy's name here, just like the message I talked about the lady there previously. We don't know her name either. We don't have the boy's name here, but still he was used by the Lord, again. And the lad simply let Jesus have his lunch, and he could have done some other things with it. A lot of times when God comes to us and we have a situation in our life that God allows us to get put into that situation, and we have the opportunity to respond correctly or react incorrectly. Many times we react, and God can't do what he wants to do. He's got to go find somebody else or wait a little bit longer time to take care of the situation, whatever it is. But many times he is limited by his own children, us. And many times we don't respond, we react. And we look at this little boy, how he says just simply, just gave his lunch. And verse number 9, Andrew said, hey, there's a little lad here which hath about 5 barley loaves, 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? I mean, we've got a small little sack lunch, but that's not going to do anything for anybody here. But he was wrong, because God was going to use that small little lunch, fish and bread, amen? And the first thing that this little boy could have done, he could have done a lot of things. We're going to look at several of these things tonight. But one of the things he could have done is he could have tried to do Jesus' job himself. He could have said, well, I'll just run around and pass all everything I got out to everything. Well, I pass what I have out to everybody. I give everybody a small little piece so everybody can have a little bitty taste. He could have tried to run around and do Jesus' job himself. And you say, that's ridiculous. Yes, it is. But we do it all the time. We try to do what God wants to do. We do. Look at John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Same book, just a few chapters over. John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse number 5. It's a good chapter here on abiding. But look at verse number 5 specifically. John 15, verse 5. Jesus says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Many times we as Christians, we have a situation that comes up in our life, and we're kind of caught off guard by it, and a lot of times we are, just to be honest. And instead of responding the correct way, we try to take care of it ourselves, try to do God's job. And you say, but it's not God's job. It's just a situation that God's put in our life. Well, that's exactly where God's domain is. It's your life. Our life is His. We have this way of thinking that it's our life and we can do what we want to and when we want to and how we want to. And the fact of the matter is, that's incorrect. The Bible says He's paid for our life. Our body, our soul, and our spirit, which are God's. I mean, He owns us lock, stock, and barrel. The life He's allowing us to live today, in 2018, we're sitting here in church, we're breathing, our hearts are pumping, and different things like that. This life He's given us to live is His. He's paid for it. That's why when He wants to end it, it's totally okay. It's His. And when this life is ended, we just get to go to heaven. I mean, our life really doesn't end. We just change addresses. And that was actually a testimony of somebody that they used with the passing of the fellow that passed away today too. This he made that statement many times that he's just going to change addresses, and for say born again child, that's true. But the child could have tried to do Jesus' job himself. He could say, man, I see all these people are hungry. I'm the only one that looks like we have any food here. I'll just tear everybody a small crumb off, and I'll run around and do as fast as I can to get them before they get too hungry and try to pass out just little pieces of fish. And of course, it wouldn't have been able to get done. I guarantee you the results of 12 baskets left over would not have happened. It would not have happened. But nevertheless, Christians try to do Jesus' job themselves, and then they wonder why things don't work out. Well, because you're the wrong ones doing the job. You say, but it's my life. Well, you got to stop thinking that way. You got to just let the Lord live through you. Because when the Lord brings us to situations in our lives, whatever it may be, whether it's health or financial or geographical, whatever it is, when God allows those things to come into our lives, it's His life, and He wants us to follow Him through it. As the song we sang, the storm passes by, God brings things into our life, and He's going to, we can get with Him, we can get through those things, and they'll just, we can realize the truth that it has come to pass. It didn't come to just be, we're not going to be permanently, you know, with a cold. We're not going to be permanently in a financial pickle. We're not going to be permanently in whatever the situation that, you know, God allows us to be in to cause us to look to Him. We won't be permanently in that place, but we follow Him, we can get through that, be wiser, realize God's presence, and be better equipped on the other side to go on to do more for Him. Because as long as we're here, when we get up in the morning, we wake up and realize we're still here, there's something God wants us to do. That's why we're here. It's not a paycheck. It's not about a paycheck. It's not about our 401k. It's not about whatever it is. It's about what God wants us to do. And it may be at work. It may be, you know, while you're doing other things. But there's something God wants you to do. That's why you're still here. And He wants to do it through you. But one of the things the boy could have done was, says, I can take care of this myself. I know all about barley loaves. I know all about fishes. I'm the one that caught these fishes, matter of fact. And I can show you the creek where I caught them, preacher, and I can take care of this myself. He could have tried to do it himself, and it wouldn't have worked. And I just want to take it to heart today, myself personally, and as we all should do, that when God has something he wants to do in our life, let God do it. Let God do it. I mean, I always fall back on parenting and raising kids because it's a perfect way to understand God in so many ways, parenting kids. But many times when the children are presented with a problem that they cannot handle, they will willingly ask mom and dad for help. Willingly, unless they're mad or they're having a fit. Then they won't. Now, they'll still see the problem. They'll still see that they can't do it. But because of pride and because of sin and because of rebellion, they won't go to mom and dad, even though they may be standing right there watching the whole thing. They won't do what they know they should do. Why? Because it's sin. Now, as God's children, when God puts us in a situation where that's in front of us as well, spiritually speaking, in our life, whatever the decision may be, you can be sure God's watching, waiting for the response. And when we do not come to him, there's always going to be a reason. And it's not going to be good. And what amazes me is when God sees that over and over in our lives, he still loves us. He still will answer that prayer for that unsaved loved one. He'll still pray for a situation that you're just crying out to God about because you're overwhelmed. And he'll still be merciful and listen to our prayers and be there for us and comfort us. And even though he'll see that, it just amazes me. The depths and the inexhaustible amount of compassion and mercy that God has is amazing to me. It really is. I mean, it's far, far more than you would initially think about. You know, that God so loved the world, he gave his own son, where, you know, he loves the whole world and paid for all their sin. He did do all that. But I mean, the stuff he puts up with me in my life every day, over and over again, and still, when stuff happens and I go to him and I petition him and I talk to him, he's still there to guide and lead, guide and direct and comfort and console. And it's just amazing to me, isn't it to you? Because you know we don't deserve it. You know we don't. I mean, it's not like there's any doubt about it. You just know we don't deserve it. And he's still there. That just amazes me. Go to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Another thing he could have done, the little boy, he could have done to try to do Jesus' job himself. He could have done in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 2. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. He could have just given part of it. Well, you know, I really would like to help you out, Lord. Yeah, right, okay. How many times have we said that to God? Think about that one for a minute. How ludicrous that is. But that's how we think. You know, I really would like to help you out, Lord, but you know, I really can only spare like two of these. Because after all, I mean, it is my lunch, you know. Come on. That's how we do. That's how we act. I mean, we would never say it out loud in front of people. No way. I'm so much more spiritual than that, but that's how we act. And the little boy could have done that. He said, I really would like to help you out there, sir, but, you know, my mom told me I had to eat my lunch, and I guess I can give you part of it, but I have to have part of it for myself, too. He could have just given part of it. And a lot of times Christians will do that in their lives. They'll just give part of something to God. They'll just say, well, I'll just try God out, see if he's really like he says he is, or I don't know if I can really trust him or not. I'll just... I mean, just it sounds pretty, not it doesn't seem very feasible, very, you know, doesn't make a whole lot of sense to do this and just be completely by faith. I mean, after all, you know, I don't want to be stupid about it. I want to, you know, God's given me a brain and all these other excuses that we have instead of just going by faith and trusting God. It's amazing what you can come up with, man, when the flesh doesn't want to go. I mean, it all makes sense to you. It's like, wow, that's a good one. That's good. But you know it's not going to work, not going to fly. It's amazing what God puts up with. It really is. He could have just given part of it. And now the third thing is, in the rest of that chapter there, chapter 5 in Acts, go to verse number 3 through 5. It could have just gave him part, like in verse 1 and 2, but in verse 3 through 5, something else takes place. Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came upon all them that heard these things. Yeah, do you think? The church just getting started, and these two people drop dead because they didn't do right. That would really get the attention of the church, I think, you know? That God is real, he's alive, he cares, and he knows when you're lying. Wow, that's a newsflash, you know? Seriously, we lie all the time. Just think about your daily. I mean, the stuff we do, we just small lies here and there. It's like a way of life. It really is. It shouldn't be, but it is. He should have given just only part, like in verses 1 and 2, the little boy could have also lied about having it. Well, I don't have any lunch. You're misinformed. I don't have any lunch. Kicking it over behind a bush somewhere. I don't have a lunch, sir. I'm sorry. I'm just like everybody else waiting for some food out here. I don't have anything. Nope. We do that with God? Absolutely. We get to the point where we're so scared, we'll do that to God. We will. Our flesh will just take control, and we'll just flat out lie to God. We will. You're looking at me like I'm crazy. I'm probably crazy, but this is quite a true statement, though, nonetheless. That he lied about having it. The first thing that the flesh will always want to do when it's cornered about something is lie. That's the first thing that you're going to want to do. And the only way that you're not going to do that is if you're submitted to the Spirit of God and God's got a hold of you before you do that. Because the first time you're brought up with something and you're cornered, the first thing you're going to do is lie. I mean, you won't even have to think about it. It's just going to start rattling out of your mouth. It will. But if the Spirit of God is leading you and you realize the situation and God's got a control of that tongue and you're submitting to Him, you can cut that thing off and say, yes, it does kind of look bad, and I do apologize about this thing, but it pretty much is the way it is. Yep, it was me that hit you, and I'm sorry, and you know, my insurance card's right here. We can go ahead and get this taken care of. Because you know, just as sure as we're sitting here today, that if you hit a car in a parking lot and nobody else is around, and you can still drive your car home, you're fighting with it. You are. If you're alive, you're fighting with it. I don't care who you are. Here's another one for you. You're walking down the sidewalk in front of a store, you know, the store to go into the sidewalk to go into the door and to go into the store. They got the long sidewalk all the way down the whole front of the building. You're walking along that, and you look down and you see a $20 bill. What do? You pick it up, put it in your pocket. Is it yours? You say, but that's stupid. You're being ludicrous. I would be if God wasn't watching. Well, see, what's the other alternative? Well, you pick it up, find a store manager, and let God take care of it. If you need that $20 bill that bad, and you're willing to disobey and be rebellious against God and the Holy Spirit to do something that bad, you got more than one problem. You say, but that was a gift from God. Was it? Really? I thought gifts were given to you. You didn't just find them laying around. Boy, that one really hit a hard one. Let's go on. Okay, go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Another thing he could have done with his little lunch, and which would have been totally expected, actually, because it was his lunch. Look at James chapter 4, verse 3. James chapter 4. Ye ask and ye receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lusts. He could have just eaten his own lunch. Sat there on a rock somewhere and just started eating his bread and fish and stared at everybody else. He could have done that. And it would have been nothing wrong with it. It was his lunch. Mom gave it to him. It was for him. But he didn't. He gave it to the Lord the way he should have. He could have thrown it away. Just hid it somewhere. Didn't want the attention to me. They're coming toward me for my lunch. I better just get rid of it somewhere and just let them go look for somewhere else. And another thing he could have done, the last thing we're going to look at for this one here, is Revelation 2, verse 4. Revelation 2, 4. We weren't told the little boy's name, but God used his little lunch. Look at Revelation 2, verse 4. It says there, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." He could have just ran away. Saw the disciples coming, grabbed his lunch, and just ran. He could have done that. Do we run from God? Absolutely. Christians run from God. Absolutely. Why would 1 John 1:9 be in the Bible? Why would there be such a major emphasis on forgiveness and long-suffering and patience and mercy and grace from God toward us throughout the whole Word of God if there was not a problem with us in our lives on a daily basis? Why would there be such a need for that if there wasn't a situation? Amen. Why didn't God just make this just a massive historical volume with just incredible detail? Why is it a letter of love, mercy, grace, compassion, forgiveness, redemption, and forgiveness? Why is it so much in there? Because we need it. Not just to get saved, but every day after that too. Listen, the blood of Jesus Christ is still red, it's still wet, and it still forgives sin today. You say, yeah, people get saved every day. Yeah, I'm talking about you and me. Not getting saved over again. Every day. We get saved one time. But once that relationship is established and we sin against God, that blood's got to be applied again. If tomorrow when you blow it, you get defiled and you sin against God and do something you shouldn't have said or saw something you shouldn't have done, you pray for it and the blood's got to be applied again. It's a continuous thing over and over and over and over. It's amazing when you look at the stuff that the people went through in the Old Testament, and they had to do it by law. They had to do it by rote. They had to do it exactly the same way over and over and over again. And we think that because we're in the New Testament with the age of grace, things are different now, but all those principles still apply. Just because we don't see the blood being sloshed around like in the temple or the tabernacle or in the basin or in the laver and different things like that, just because we don't see it every time we come to church, the blood is still being applied on the mercy seat in heaven right now. Why? Because of you and because of me. That blood's still being applied. It has to be. It's the only thing that gets us right is the blood of Jesus Christ. I mean, once we're saved, we're a child of God, but then we get dirty. We get defiled. You can't clean that up with bleach. You can't clean that up with Clorox or whatever your favorite soap is or whatever it is. It's still the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Bitterness. You can't wash that away with soap, but the blood of Jesus Christ can take that away. Unforgiveness. You can't wash that away with Bon Ami or Ajax or anything, but the blood of Jesus Christ can wash it away. Do Christians have that problem? Absolutely. Absolutely. Sometimes more than one of them at the same time. He could have just ran away, just totally just left and just hightailed it out of there, running away from God in rebellion. Do Christians do it? Yes, we do. And God is so, it's amazing. I'll say it again. It's amazing how much he still loves us, even after he sees us do that over and over again. He could have ran away. He could have thrown it away. He could have eaten his lunch, lied about having it, just given part of it, or tried to do Jesus' job himself. But he didn't. What the little boy did was right. And because he did what was right, all the four Gospels actually record the event. All four Gospels do. Matthew chapter 14, 14 through 21. Mark chapter 6, 34 through 44. Luke 9, 11 through 17. And John 6, 1 through 14, we just read today. All four Gospels record what the little boy did because he did what was right and allowed God to feed 5,000 men plus the women and children that were there. Only God can do that. But if that little boy hadn't given his lunch, he would have limited God. How many times is God limited in our lives by us? We're quick to point to the world, the devil and all the nasty things around us, but they can't limit God. I mean, think about it. Have you ever heard of Noah's flood? The world cannot limit God. The devil's not going to limit God. Who limits God? Us. We do. What was the one thing that God said, you got to take care of this before the rains come, Noah? Was his family. that was the one thing God was concerned, because if that wouldn't get taken care of, the flood would have been, it would have been a situation. He had to have them in the boat. He had to have them in there. Nothing else mattered. You say, all of humanity. Yeah, I know. All of humanity didn't matter, because God was going to do what he wanted to do. Does that convict you as much as it does me, that we can do that to God? It's not that he's weak or inept, but that he'll allow us to do that. That scares me, amen? It really does. We need to do what's right. Take a lesson from this little boy that we don't even know the name to. But all four Gospels recorded for us the wonderful account. They asked the boy for lunch, and he said, sure, you can have my lunch, Jesus. How would it have been if it was you or me? Now here's a real good question for you. How is it with you or me when he comes? Because he still comes. And he still asks. Amen. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love and your patience, forgiveness. Just an amazing forgiveness and love you have for us. I pray, Lord, this message about this little boy tonight and the little lunch. They probably taught it and heard it and preached it and sung it many times, Lord, over the years. But the truth is still there, Lord. He could have done a lot of different things besides what was right to do. Help us as Christians, Lord, to understand that and realize we need to respond every time the right way instead of reacting the wrong way. Help us, Lord, to do that. Help us to see that. Help us to understand that. And help us, Lord, to realize by your mercy and grace we have another day. We have another breath. It's all because of you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us, for saving us, forgiving us a life worth living, and giving us everything we have. And help us to realize as your children that we don't have the right to be wrong. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go ahead and spend some time.